Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, if you're not watching the Netflix romantic comedy Love, starring Paul Rudd and Gillian Jacobs and produced by Judd Apatow, well, you should. It's a really well-written and directed show about trying to find love in Los Angeles. It's great to watch for the comedy, but it's also great because we get to see some Chicago talent in the series, namely Chris Witalski. Chris spent a few years making us laugh at Second City, starring in a couple Second City ETC reviews before moving to Los Angeles. Since that time, we've seen him on the Netflix return of Bob and David, on Jimmy Kimmel. He also hosts a live talk show from the UCB Theater where he interviews big names in comedy, the show called So You Do Comedy, which is aptly named. The show Love is in its second season on Netflix, and they're shooting a third season now, and it's my pleasure to welcome Chris Witalski to the Download. Chris, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Buddy, it's been too long, and thanks for having me.
So, I mean, let's start talk about Love first. I mean, how did you get involved with this show? Because this is obviously a lot of great L.A. talent, and we had Paul on the show at one point, but how did you get involved with it?
Well, I was very lucky for a couple reasons. Number one was that the woman who cast the show is a lady by the name of Allison Jones, mm-hmm. who, if you probably don't know who she is, but if you were to type her name into IMDb, you would see that she has been the casting director of just about every big comedy in the last, 12 years.
She did The Office. She did things like that, right?
The Office, Parks and Rec, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Arrested Development, and then big movies like Bridesmaids and Knocked Up. And yeah, so she's been behind a lot of stuff. So anyway, she came to see me perform at Second City when I was still on stage there on the ETC. So she saw me do my thing in Chicago. And so then when I auditioned for her for Love a couple years later, she remembered me and knew what I could do, and so she was a big help in getting me on the show.
How often does that happen, Chris, where casting directors and producers and people in Hollywood actually come to Second City in Chicago to see you, and then you run into them again when you actually get out there in Los Angeles?
You know, not as often as you would think, and the smart casting directors are the ones who go out into the world and go to Chicago and New York and other places to try to find talent, as opposed to just sitting in LA, you know, hoping the talent comes to them. And so I think the only people I remember really coming when I was on stage was her and then Lorne Michaels from SNL.
It's interesting to me that, you know, the Chicago connection in LA and New York is so strong. I mean, we've had so many people on the show. I mean, from Brad Morris to Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, people who are Second City, true blue Chicago people who are doing so well right now. What do you draw from the crew that you know out there, the people that you improvised with, the people that you came up with in Chicago? Do you guys still hang out? Do you draw from each other? Do you inspire each other to and also work together?
Oh, all of that. And it's, you know, I grew up outside of Chicago. I grew up in St. Charles. So I'm a Midwest guy. And moving to Los Angeles is a very strange experience. It's not, Los Angeles is a completely different world than I was used to coming from the Midwest. So the coolest thing that happens is all my Second City buddies and my Annoyance Theater buddies and my IO Theater buddies, they all move out here too. They either move here or New York, and a lot of them moved out here. So it was great to kind of have a built-in community when I first got here. And we still hang out constantly and start projects together and do improv shows together. And so that has really been kind of a saving grace for a lot of us who move out here.
You know, for you as an actor and a writer, but as an actor, you have a lot of more options in this golden age of television with the streaming show services like Amazon, Hulu, or Netflix than an actor like yourself from Second City 10, 15 years ago, who just go out and try to get network sitcoms. Talk about that. Talk about how, you know, the proliferation of, you know, the network television show has helped you or hurt you in terms of trying to get work.
Well, it's really helped me a lot. And, you know, I think that there's good and bad to it. I think that it definitely gives a lot more actors opportunity to be on shows because there's so many. But then the problem is, you know, you don't have a show like Seinfeld anymore where everybody watches it, you know? Now there's these little niche shows where people, you know, tune in if they can or check it out here and there. But, I mean, it used to be that there was one big show and everybody watched it. Now there's thousands. And I feel like I can't catch up. I mean, every day somebody's telling me about some new show that I have to check out. I'm like, I only have so much time in the day. So then I get overwhelmed, and so then I end up watching just like, you know, Chopped or Living in Alaska.
Well, you know, how, I mean, it's got to help, though. I mean, in a successful show like Love, where you are a streaming show on Netflix, and, you know, it's a show that features a lot of comedians who are in L.A. and New York, but maybe not the biggest name recognition. But it helps that Netflix has actually ordered two seasons and a third one is on the way. It's becoming sort of a staple to continue to watch this show for people who keep coming back to the service.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely, and they even write the show with that in mind. Like, they create it purposely to be bingeable. And so they have that in mind, that people are not going to be watching this once a week. They're going to be sitting down and watching this whole thing in, you know, 3 hours. And then, you know, the other big thing we have is the executive producer is this guy, Judd Apatow, who has this Midas touch, who was behind, you know, Girls on HBO and then tons of movies and Amy Schumer's movie. And now that he's got a new show on HBO called Crashing. And so having Judd behind this, I think, really is what kind of helped, you know, Netflix to buy two seasons right out of the gate and help them to renew it, because they know that, you know, he knows what he's doing by now and he's going to deliver a good product.
You know, for you to be, I mean, somewhat a newbie out in L.A., you've been out there for a couple of years now, but to come from Chicago, like you said, growing up in St. Charles, being a staple at Second City on the ETC stage, to go out and to become a part of this ensemble that includes people like Gillian Jacobs and Judd Apatow, executive producer, even Paul Rust, who's done so much, including writing the Pee-wee movies. How does it help you as a comedian to be around an ensemble of comedians and actors and writers who all are making their name?
So much. I mean, you know, so I've been out here for 3 years now, and somebody was saying the other day, the first 3 years in L.A., you're planting seeds that you hope will then grow in 3 or 4 years. And right now it's starting to feel like some of the seeds that I've been planting are starting to grow. And just to be around these other creative people who are also wanting to, you know, take it to the next level, it really helps a lot. And then getting to meet somebody like Judd, who then, you know, sees what I can do and sees that I'm good at improvising on set and making things funnier. It just, you know, doors start opening and you start meeting new people, and then you hope that it snowballs. Yeah. So that's, you know, where I'm at right now.
Chris Pataky, my guest here on The Download tonight, he's in the show Love, which is in season 2 right now on Netflix. Season 3, they're shooting as we speak. All right, let me ask you about, you know, you mentioned about improvising on set. This is something that we just talked to Scott Adsit about, the same thing. This concept that at one point, someone coming out of Chicago at I.O., at Second City, at Annoyance, like you mentioned, you would have a leg up on everybody. Because you come out with a certain, you'd have the chops of being able to improvise, to do things on set. And you saw more and more directors being like, more of that, more of that. And now it's become, you know, everybody who comes to L.A. has to have improv. You know, it becomes a skill. You know,
right.
I could play bass. I could play racquetball. It's at the bottom of the resume. Talk about, I mean, is it harder for you as an improviser to stand out, knowing that everybody who, every actor, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes to L.A. has tried to do the same?
That is a good question. And yes, but also I think that, you know, people will take a couple improv classes and then they'll put improv on their on their resume. But you really don't see if somebody's a good improviser until you're on set and in the heat of the moment, and it's nerve wracking. And they, the director says, okay, now improvise a take. And that's when you really, I think, that's when I really am able to show my, what I've been studying for the last, since I was 13 years old, when I took my first class at Second City. That's when I'm really able to, I think, show, okay, I know what I'm doing here and I'm going to prove it to you. You know, the talent kind of rises to the top. So it's a good question, but I still think that that if you're really good at it, it shows.
You don't even think about the pressure of a director being like, all right, next one, let's improvise, go. And everybody on set just kind of watching you. They can't laugh. They can't give you any energy. You just have to sort of make it up as you go with a scene partner that you may not have worked with before. I mean, there's a lot that goes into doing a make 'em up on the set like that.
It's extremely nerve-wracking. I remember the first table read I ever did. You know, they told us have fun with the lines, and So I'm sitting there nervous, and we're all waiting for Judd to get there. And then all of a sudden he walks in, and out of all the seats he could have sat in, he chose the seat directly in front of me. And so he sits down, he's like 2 feet in front of me. And I've met the guy, you know, a couple times at this point. I mean, extremely nerve-wracking.
Did you do well? I hope you did well. Well, obviously you did. You're in year three of the...
I think I did well. I think I was able to use all that experience I got from Second City and all those times when, you know, Lorne Michaels was sitting in the audience to, you know, kind of overcome the anxiety.
You know, before I let you go, I mean, you did the Bob and David reboot, which was awesome. You went on tour with them, saw that show at the Vic. You've done a lot with UCB, but you're now doing the talk show on stage, So You Do Comedy. And you're getting great guests to come out and talk with. I mean, do you feel like the names that were thrown around this interview, from Judd Apatow to Bob and David to the people that have been on your show, Andy Richter and Fred Willard, all the way down the line. I mean, do you feel like you're creating a community in Los Angeles, becoming part of something special?
Yeah, it does feel like that. You know, the cool thing about living out here is that there's a lot more access to, you know, people. And so in Chicago, you know, I could interview Mick Napier or Andrew Alexander, but then, you know, not a lot of people live in Chicago. But out here, you know, it's like an embarrassment of riches. So I can, you know, reach out to somebody and say, hey, what are you doing on Monday night? Do you want to come to do my interview show? And a lot of the time these people say yes, because they're looking for stuff to do. So, you know, I always say out here, it's not a theater town like Chicago is. And there have been times where I have a huge interview guest for my show. It's once a month at UCB, and I'm still struggling to sell tickets. And I always say to my fiance, if I was doing this show in Chicago, it would sell out in 2 minutes. Yep. There'd be a line around the block. But out here, I mean, when you see celebrities at the grocery store, it's like not as big of a deal.
There you go. You should do a talk show in the grocery store. That might be what you need to do.
Maybe that's the key.
Chris Witalski, longtime Second City stalwart. He was on stage at the ETC. He is now starring in the show Love with Paul Rust and Gillian Jacobs, executive producer Judd Apatow, which can be found on Netflix, season 1 and 2. 2 just came out. 3 is taping right now. Chris, a pleasure to catch up with you. Congrats on the success early in your career, and we hope to talk to you soon.
You too, buddy. Great talking to you.